Welcome to the Leaders Huddle podcast. Through this podcast, our goal is to educate and inspire the current generation of company-grade officers through advancing discussion of leadership, professionalism, and building high-performing organizations. My name is Major Micah Klein. Today in the huddle, David Wirt sits down and interviews Colonel Eric Lopez of Lopez on Leadership. Colonel Lopez discusses thoughts on generational leadership, the Lopez on Leadership blog, and Mission Command in the digital age. This is an excellent episode for anyone who's trying to connect with the younger generation of leaders. This is the Leaders Huddle Podcast, Episode 46, interview with Colonel Eric Lopez of Lopez on Leadership.
Joining us today in the huddle is Colonel Eric Lopez from the YouTube channel Lopez on Leadership. Sir, welcome into the huddle. Please fill in our listeners on your bio and basically what your service, Lopez on Leadership, provides to the vast social media platform out there.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, I'm Colonel Eric Lopez. Graduated from West Point in 1996. I've served in a variety of assignments, mostly light infantry. I've served in the 101st, 75th Ranger Regiment, 10th Mountain, 3rd Striker Brigade, and 1st Infantry Division. I had the privilege and honor of commanding a company and a battalion in Afghanistan, and I was a battalion S3 and a brigade S3 in Iraq. However, I'm heading into a whole new world coming out of the Army War College as I take 3rd Recruiting Brigade at Fort Knox. So I'm diving into the world of recruiting. And I'm really excited about that. I've got a great family. I've been married 21 years to my wife, Christy. We've got two boys. We've got an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. Ryan is 18. Nate is 16. And I got one heading off to college next year. So it was a tough year of college applications and getting all that done, scholarships and everything. But we're really, really excited and proud of our kids. As far as Lopez on Leadership, what does it provide? Man, what I really wanted to provide was differing views about leadership, a wide, diverse, all kinds of different thoughts on leadership. And that's something that I try to do on my page is interview community leaders, interview business leaders, interview people who have thoughts about race, people who are in the faith community, and then of course, you know, Army and sort of government leaders. But I wanted to get a lot of diversity in what I was talking about and get a conversation going about leadership. And the other thing was really to provide an opportunity for connection, communication, and collaboration, which is what I believe drives innovation. When you get people talking and people sharing, to superiors, peers, subordinates, all ranks, all walks of life, I think that's what sparks good idea and that's what sparks innovation. And that's some of the things I was looking for with Lopez on Leadership.
So I'm feverishly writing some notes down here, and you kind of provided just some follow-on questions right there. I think it's very interesting that your platform has brought in so many different guests from different domains, like you mentioned, community leaders and faith-based leaders, and those diverse views on solving some of the same problems. And what I've realized of going from a grad school environment to working with a rather sort of, I'd say, liberal education down in the city at Columbia University, and then teaching cadets, are some of the problems we face are very similar, and we can collaborate on those. But I'm curious, where'd your initial inspiration for starting the channel and your Facebook page? How did that come about?
Yeah, really three reasons. The first one, as somebody that was going into recruiting, was to learn. Generation Z, millennials, the younger generations, they think, they communicate, they make decisions on social media. And if I'm going to be someone that's trying to reach them, I felt like I needed to learn, how did they do that? How do they think? How do they communicate? How do they make decisions? What do they like? What do they not like? And I, you know, it was one of those kind of failing forward. And I just dove in to the social media world just to learn. That was the first thing. The second thing is I wanted to build a softer brand, a leadership brand for myself. So when I am in recruiting brigade command, I'm not just Colonel Lopez, the Army guy. I am Eric, the leadership guy, just to be able to communicate with all the different key influencers and communities that we need to be touching when it comes to recruiting. And the last of the third reason was, if I'm expecting my soldiers in recruiting to get out and connect with the American public, I asked myself, what was I doing? What am I doing to do that? And I thought diving into the social media world is a way to do that. And the best, the medium that I've learned the most from is on Instagram. Facebook is a little bit dated. It's kind of our generation. YouTube, I've seen some incremental growth, but that communication on Instagram is so fast, so rapid. You can interact and touch so many people so quickly. That has been remarkable, and I've really learned a lot. But really, to learn about the social media, to kind of build a softer approach, and then to connect with the American public were kind of my three inspirations for diving into social media.
So, sir, about your third point about getting out connecting, have you had a relatively positive response from the greater American public that's non-military?
Yes. Overall, very positive. But one of the things is, if you're in the social media world, you have to be ready to take hits. You got to be ready to be criticized. You got to be ready to get your feelings hurt. And it doesn't feel good. But that's one of the things I learned is, if you're going to be out in that space, you got to have thick skin, and you're not going to bat 1,000. You can't be expected to bat 1,000 with every single person. There's always going to be people who don't like what you're saying, who disagree with you, and learning how to deal with that and how to address issues that people bring up is a big part of being in the social media space.
So I've also noticed that you've gone out to routinely visit high schools and I think Dickinson College, the softball team. So how did that get started? Did you just kind of reach out to them, kind of cold call them, or I'm curious of how that was initiated?
Yeah, it started with a program here at the Army War College called the Eisenhower Program. And that is a funded program where they take War College students and we go out and do speaking engagements. So I did one at Ohio University, I did one at Temple, I did one at Brooklyn Tech High School. And then the stuff at Dickinson was really, I went out on my own. I really wanted to see this year at the War College as a year for me to practice and learn about recruiting and how to penetrate different markets and different places. So a lot of the schools and a lot of the things I did was just cold calling and just building relationships and networking. And they don't teach you that in infantry basic and the advanced course and a captain's career course and those things. That's things as Army officers and Army leaders that you have to learn. And so that's kind of how all that got started. And it was a great year. I really enjoyed it. And I really learned a lot.
Speaking of the lessons that are not taught at the Bullock or the career course, for our listeners out there, I'm wondering if you can provide some insight on how to build that network and scale leader development and your message throughout your battalion or brigade formation, maybe utilizing a platform like social media. Could you provide any insight to those lieutenants or commanders or even field grade officers listening on how they could utilize some of your insights on networking and reaching out and using social media to leverage those benefits of social media to further leader development?
Yeah, the first thing is, we have got to understand how social media empowers mission command. I got a couple sayings. You know, one of them is, if you're sending out your commander's intent or your philosophy or whatever on an email with an attachment, you're irrelevant. You're not keeping up with the time. Social media allows us to communicate from the highest level to the lowest level immediately. We have to get past the days of the colonel tells the major tells the captain tells the, and all the way down. I believe we have to go from the colonel straight to the lowest ranking private. And that's not just one way, that's both way communications. If you think about in mission command, you know, we're supposed to inspire trust and give clear guidance that empowers our subordinates to take the initiative. What does that better? A Word document that gets emailed out or a YouTube video that shows your nonverbals that you know, people can see your passion, they can see your face, they can watch it over and over, they can share it, they can talk about it. They get to know you, they get to trust you, and they get to hear exactly what you're saying, and it's very clear. You can make it very clear in a 2 to 3 minute YouTube video. So I think learning how to use mission command or use social media to empower mission command in our organizations is critical. The other piece is using social media to communicate to external audiences. The chief of staff of the Army, General Milley, has told all Army leaders, you must communicate with the American public. And nobody's doing it. Very few people are doing it. It's not incentivized in our Army structure. So we're getting this warrior caste of the only people joining the military are those that come from military families. The statistics are mind-boggling of how many of our young privates enlisting in the Army are from military families. Our folks in ROTC and West Point are coming from military families. And that gap is growing. And I think social media is a great way to proactively communicate and connect with the American public and show them how great the Army is and what the Army's really about.
So one thing that I kind of got a sense of when you were talking, but we didn't come out explicitly and say it, but what I noticed with using my kind of limited own social media presence with my cadets or this podcast is it really breaks down the barriers of trust and authenticity, where that sort of rapid acceleration and flow of communication from the colonel to the private, I think you have to be very clear and very transparent on what your guidance and intent are. You can't hide behind the veil of emails or closed doors. And that comes with some, I think, some comfort in being very transparent and being very clear and intentional. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on that point.
Yeah, and what it does is it speeds up the rate at which you can function and make decisions. Think of the time it takes for your intent or your guidance on a certain topic to go from the commander down to the lowest ranking private. Does it even make it to the lowest ranking private, and is it clear, or do you kind of get that telephone game effect where the colonel tells the major tells the captain, and then kind of gets frittered away as it gets to the bottom? So the speed at which your intent can go from the top to the bottom, and then those folks, those young soldiers and young sergeants can take that and then make decisions quickly. They don't have to wait. They have the commander's intent. It's clear, and they can operate under that intent and take the initiative at their level. And it speeds up the rate at which we can do that, because it's not just one thing. We have multiple lines of effort, multiple initiatives going on at the same time. And those young leaders have to be able to do that as fast as possible. So that speed piece, I think, is so critical as we move forward and we develop and make mission command fit for our time and for the era of social media.
So I think we could have a whole separate episode on like social media and that buzzword you brought up as far as a warrior caste. And I'm doing some research on a couple of the books I've read on that topic. But going back to the topic of connecting with the American public and a non-military audience, what type of message about leadership are you typically delivering to the Brooklyn Techs and Ohio University and Dickinson College? What value are you bringing to them as your primary message?
The biggest thing that I'm bringing to them is busting misperceptions about the Army, debunking misperceptions about the Army. The American public loves the Army, they respect the Army, but they don't know anything about it. And they have these misperceptions built up by Hollywood that are erroneous. You know, I call it the Chris Kyle American Sniper Syndrome, right? The American public thinks the Army is either one, a special operator, you know, Chris Kyle American Sniper, or two, or the wounded warrior that they see in the commercials. Those are incredibly important and awesome parts of our Army. We want to honor both of those, our special operators and our wounded warriors, but it's a tiny, tiny percentage of what the Army is really about. So I usually talk about four or five things that I think the American public misperceives or has a misperception about the Army. The first one is leadership. You know, they think they've seen, you know, movies with drill sergeants yelling and those kind of things, and they think that's how it is in the Army. They don't understand mission command and how mission command is such a progressive style of leadership. They think the Army is uneducated. People don't understand that the requirements for people to come into the Army are extremely high, and people have to have the right scores on the ASVAB or you can't come in. They have misperceptions about the pay and benefits. And they think, you know, the Army is a great living for you know, young people with a high school graduate degree or high school degree. They have misperceptions about who joins the Army. Very few people know that only one in four 17 to 24-year-old Americans can even get into the Army. They think, you know, a lot of people think, well, if I have no other options, then I'll go in the Army. Sorry, you can't get in. You know, that's how hard it is to get in the Army, and there's tons of misperceptions about that. And then the last one I like to talk about is diversity. People think that the Army is not diverse, and there's issues with that. When our Army is incredibly diverse. We represent our nation very, very well, better than most colleges and better than most businesses. Now, there's places in diversity we need to get better, no doubt, but the Army is a very diverse place. We honor all races, religions, creeds, sexual orientations, all those things. And those are some of the misperceptions that I love to talk about with people, because people have a totally different view of what the Army is really about.
I was having a conversation with my cadets the other day about the Army being more progressive than the rest of American society, and the fact that the Army became integrated with Truman's executive order prior to the Civil Rights Act. So those are great messages, sir. I mean, you're using the right platform. So moving on to my third question, and we kind of already touched on this, but I want to see if there's anything else to glean out there. In the age of social media and hyper-connectedness, how have you adopted your own approach to leading at the organizational level, maybe beyond what we already talked about on mission command?
Yeah, I think I've hit a lot about that. Where, you know, I think we have to use digital tools to build mission command. We have to have that shared understanding from top to bottom and speed up how we make decisions. Another thing that I'll add in there is that our young people are being influenced by rappers, rockers, Hollywood, athletes. Where are we? Where are you know, leaders in their own units? In that, right? So if a young soldier looks at Snapchat or Instagram 100 times a day, which is definitely realistic, 100 times a day they look at either Instagram or Snapchat, and they are being influenced by a rapper, a rocker, a Hollywood person, an athlete, how many times is a Army leader connecting with them digitally? I would say not that much. And I've gotten to the point now where I really believe the younger generations receive information better digitally than they do face-to-face. So if you think you're going to fall your battalion out around you and give them a speech, and they're going to take that, internalize it, and take it with them when they leave, I would say it's probably not going to happen. It could happen a lot better if you did both face-to-face and followed up digitally. And that, I think with this generation, that digital connection sinks in and gets through clearer, faster, and with more repetition than even face to face. So those are some of the things that I've learned and as I dove into the area of social media.
Why do you think maybe this is like an overgeneralization statement, but I'm curious, do you think, let me rephrase that. This may be an overgeneralized statement, but from at least my cursory observation, it seems like a lot of maybe battalion level leaders and above are a little averse to social media, or they kind of keep it at an arm's length, or they have their S1 manage their account. And then you have examples like General Abrams, that I'm pretty sure he manages his own Twitter account and he's very active. There's a very large spectrum. Do you think the Army's moving in the right direction on utilizing social media?
I do, but I don't blame people, and here's why. There is no incentive for them to take a risk and get into the social media space. You are not rewarded on your OER. You're not rewarded on your evaluation. But if something goes wrong, there is a tremendous risk and you will get hammered. So people they look at it and it's a value judgment. Okay, I can do this. I can communicate better with my organization, but I'm not being rewarded by my hire. But I know if something goes wrong and something gets messed up and YouTube, something goes viral, I'm going to get in major, major trouble. So the Army has to take some of that burden on themselves. We can't bat 1,000, right? Like 300 is a good batting average, 1/3. So if you're saying, you know, I put out 3 messages and only one of them is good, the other two don't hit or something goes wrong, you know, I'm trying to make an analogy that we can't bat 100. We can't bat. I have a perfect batting average in the social media space. So the Army and we as leaders have to take that risk on our shoulders and empower our subordinates to use social media to communicate. But somebody's got to own that risk, because right now when we ask our own people to do it, there's not a lot of incentive for them to do it.
That's a good point. I mean, I'm not sure what the right answer is besides assuming some prudent risk. And I know there's some guidelines on online conduct, but I think it's an opportunity lost that we can leverage a little better. So I kind of want to transition and take a little more deep dive on actual leadership experiences. And I'd like to peel back the curtain a little bit. Can you tell me about your toughest crucible moment as a leader and what you learned from it?
My first year in battalion command was really tough. We struggled with discipline issues. And we had the whole gamut: DUIs, drugs, sexual assault, hazing. I mean, it was a really, really tough first year. And the biggest lesson I learned from that was when I came into battalion command, I felt like I knew what my organization needed to do. I was, you know, I've been in almost 20 years. I was, you know, fast tracking infantrymen. I knew how to be an infantryman. I knew how to train an infantry battalion. And it turned out I was wrong. And what I was trying to do with my battalion was not what they needed at the time. And later on in my time in command, I learned about operational design. And in operational design, you start off by saying, I don't know what my organization needs, or I don't know what I should be doing on this deployment. And then you use operational design to understand your hire's intent, understand and frame the environment, then define and frame the problem before you come up with a solution. And that was a great lesson that I learned. And when I started instituting design, our organization really looked at problems differently, more creatively. And when you use design, you never end up doing what you think you're going to do. You always end up doing something else. More oftentimes than not, you end up doing the right things instead of being like me at the beginning of my battalion command, where I was steering the battalion in the wrong direction because I didn't take that time to do design. I didn't take that time to get input from the whole organization on where we were and where we needed to go. And that was a tremendous crucible for me and a great learning moment for me.
That's awesome, sir. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I think it takes a little bit of humility to admit maybe we don't know everything, and we got to receive some input and buy-in from our lower subordinates and build that team. I got another kind of leadership question. If you could gift one book on the topic of leadership, what would it be?
The one book that I would gift to someone on the topic of leadership is Gates of Fire by Stephen Pressfield. And what I like about that book is it gets in touch with the emotional side of leadership. When we first came to the War College, somebody asked me, write down the five best leaders you've ever worked for. And I wrote that list down. And then they said, why are those leaders the best? And I reflected on that and I said, you know, to myself, it's because I didn't want to let them down. It wasn't because they were smart. It wasn't because they gave great guidance. It wasn't because they were tactically competent. They were all those things, but it was because that emotional connection where I didn't want to let them down. And a lot of times when we talk about leadership books and all those things, we get these sort of formulaic or transactional things like, if I do this, it's going to lead to this. And those are all good. But man, Gates of Fire gets at the emotional side of leadership and truly being a leader that where your subordinates will want to not let you down. And that's kind of an often side, you know, in the Army, we're not, you know, overly emotional all the time. We kind of try to hide our emotions. But when you can't read that book and not feel an emotional connection with the leaders in there and then try to inspire that same emotional connection in your units as you move forward.
I'm a big fan of Pressfield's work, and I hate to admit it, but I have not read fully through Gates of Fire. I think it came out right around, or I got introduced to it right around when 300 came out, and I was like, oh, I'll just watch the movie. The movie doesn't count. The movie does not do justice.
All.
But I really like his other book, which is more about, it's a fun take on the art of war, and it's the war of art, basically about the struggles and this aspect of fighting the resistance and being a creative. And Pressfield's just known for pouring his own emotions into his work, and that's a good point to remember, the human side, emotional side of leadership. And if I look back my own, you know, only 10-year history now of those officers, and I'm soon to be field grade, those kind of iron majors I want to emulate, it's those officers that I didn't want to let down. Honestly, those are the ones that I try to think about the characteristics. So we were originally connected through Doug Meyer of the Company Leader, and I want to give you some space to elaborate a little bit on the recently launched Branch Series and your partnership with the Company Leader's website.
Yeah, so Branch Series ran from 14 to 25 May and really had two parts. In one part, each day I interviewed someone from a fellow student at the Army War College from every branch. So they're all former battalion commanders, and most are future brigade commanders. And I asked them very simple, basic leadership stuff, like who's the best leader you ever worked for? If you could go back in time to when you were a cadet, what would you tell yourself? What was your expectations of junior leaders? And then what was your expectations of leaders from that specific branch? So, you know, the first day was infantry, then armor, then field artillery, all the way down the list. And I had a great time interviewing my peers, and every single one had a different take on leadership and really about their specific branch. So that was one part of it. The other part was Doug Meyer of the Company Leader got an article written by a captain or a major on why that specific branch, why their specific branch was special or different. So we launched that, and so 14 branches in 14 days and 14 articles, and really to get some dialogue going and to get some competition going with, you know, on branch pride and all those things. So hope everybody enjoys that. That, you know, my stuff is on Lopez on Leadership on YouTube, and Doug's at The Company Leader on Facebook and Twitter, and his own website, thecompanyleader.com.
I think that I know that most cadets are not going to receive their branch until the fall, but the timing kind of plays well for those cadets going out to CTLT this summer, and they can start asking questions, and hopefully they're aligned with a branch that they're interested in. If we've done them service, we did that. What can your followers and your subscribers and Lopez and Leadership expect in the coming months or the future of the platform?
Yeah, some really exciting stuff. I'm going to dive into some stuff about transitioning out of the Army. I think a lot of our soldiers and officers that transition are kind of struggle, and I want to talk to some people that have done it well and get some great advice on that. So kind of a soldier for life transitioning out of the Army series. That'll be in the future. I want to do a Command Sergeant Major series, where I talk to some sitting Command Sergeant Majors and have them give advice to lieutenants, have them give advice to young NCOs and young sergeants. So I'm really, really excited about that, about hearing from some of our senior NCOs in the Army. And then the other one that I'm really excited about tackling is women in combat arms. Help men to mentor and lead women in combat arms effectively, and also directed at women and how they can be successful in combat arms. And that one is going to be really interesting. There's a lot of great dialogue going on, but there's not a lot of really clear answers right now. So it's definitely going to, going to be a great discussion, and I look forward to working on those three projects in the future.
Sir, that sounds great, and we'll definitely keep sharing the Lopez and Leadership YouTube videos on our Facebook page. And for those listeners that are interested, I'd recommend checking out episode 23, Breaking Down the Barriers to Cross-Gender Mentoring Relationships. And we've also interviewed my former battalion command sergeant major, Sergeant Major Hood. And that was one of our very first episodes. Back in episode 11. Those are great episodes on that topic. We have not done a topic on transitioning out of the Army. It's been suggested a few times. We just haven't found the right guest, but I'll definitely connect you with the ladies from Promote Leadership. So wrapping up here, I always try to leave our guests with a few other resources and sharing love to the people that have paid it forward to us. What are some other digital resources or books you typically refer to your own professional and personal development that you think the listeners and viewers of Lopez on Leadership should check out?
There's a wide variety of them. I really like The Military Leader, The Company Leader, From the Green Notebook, Strategy Bridge, War on the Rocks. There's a variety of them. And what all those mediums allow us to do is increase our situational awareness. And I always tell lieutenants, step one, do what your boss says and do it fast. Listen to what your boss says and do what they say, come back for more. That's the easy side. The harder side is listen to what your boss says and then listen to a wider variety of inputs. That's your boss's boss, that's your peers, that's all these digital resources out there. And then the key step is then you reflect. You reflect on everything you have heard. And the third step, then you take initiative and come up with your own creative solutions and your own creative ideas. So it's easy to do what your boss says and come back for more. The real top 10%, the real folks who excel, are those that can listen to all different types of medium, then reflect on that, then take initiative of their own accord. And that's what really separates leaders out there. And all those digital resources really help you think and reflect and come up with your own ideas. And that's a key part of leadership and mission command.
I mean, that's awesome, sir. I share that sort of notion with my cadets about it's those really effective leaders that make a big difference are the ones who spend their their kind of off-stage time, to use a Michael Hyatt term, of when you're not at work, but you got the weekends, and for their own personal and professional growth, and they can bring it back into the workplace and bring it back into their formation and pour into others to bring value to them. So thanks for sharing that. So this wraps up our episode, and I really appreciate your time. How can our listeners follow you on social media?
It's real easy. Lopez on Leadership on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. I kept it the same on all three, and look forward to connecting with anybody that wants to connect out there.
Awesome. Well, we'll share the links to your YouTube channel and Facebook page in our show notes. And again, sir, I really thank you for your time. This wraps up another episode of Leaders Huddle Podcast. Check out our next episode, where we're closing on 50 episodes, and we'll interview myself and Guillermo on a recently published article on horizontal and vertical leader development. Check us out on our own Twitter and Facebook page. And as always, please leave a rating and review on iTunes and Google Play. We're getting a lot of good ratings recently, and that's the best way to suggest a topic for a future episode. Until next time, get out there, make a difference in your organization. This is Leaders Huddle Podcast, signing off. The views expressed in the Leaders Huddle Podcast are the opinions of the hosts and guests. The discussion shared here does not represent the official position of the United States Military Academy or the U.S. Army.